Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Small Business in America. Small Business Report from Gene Marks, the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, the UK edition, where they've avoided a recession, and the US edition, where we're waiting for the recession. The headlines of the day, however, competing for what is more threatening, what is more unnerving for small business America. The two headlines. U.S. economy added 311,000 jobs in February. That sounds like a big positive. And then Silicon Valley Bank collapses following run on deposits. A big negative. However, these are connected because what is driving this is after many years of nearly zero interest rates for borrowing money, the Federal Reserve, in order to defeat sticky inflation, is sharply raising the interest rates charged the best customers. And that connects these stories. Gene, a very good evening to you. Small Business America. All day long, I've been reading headlines about the bank collapse in Silicon Valley. Yes, some people cancel their Maui weekends. However, what I'm paying attention to is how this affects small businesses, especially startups and people who dream of a future where they need borrowed money to start their idea. Is it too early for us to tell about the second largest bank failure in history rattling small business? Good evening to you.
John, first of all, and not to, you know, to try and say this as humbly as possible, I would direct you back to a column that I wrote for The Guardian at the very end of 2022, saying that the biggest issue in 2023 for small businesses are going to be interest rates. That is what is going to be a problem for businesses getting loans. These are existing businesses, because I wrote that even back then, this was in December, my better clients that were refinancing their working capital and equipment loans were starting to see rates that were significantly higher than before, even as high as double digits, depending on what their credit history was. And for those companies looking to get loans, and particularly smaller companies and startups that are looking to get financing, the market back at the end of 2022, it was only a couple months ago, was already beginning to tighten. That was happening then. We had already seen throughout the second half of 2022, tens of thousands of layoffs in Silicon Valley, all these tech companies, because there was a shortage of financing. So a lot of companies in the technology world that are generating enormous losses for future value. That was the model of an Uber or Amazon. So if it worked for those guys, maybe it can work for a bunch of other companies. Well, Uber and Amazon were able to pull that off in an era of, you know, next to zero interest rates. So the cost of capital was nothing and financing losses didn't cost anything. Well, interest rates are now up, significantly up. And a lot of people were not prepared for that increase, which brings us to Silicon Valley Bank, because Silicon Valley Bank's, you know, bread and butter customers are a lot of tech companies and companies that are in that area and in that industry that were underfinanced, that were generating losses, that were having their issues. Silicon Valley Bank itself found itself in whatever investments it was making with its own depositors or its own outside investors. The interest rates itself became too high, too big of a cost for them to maintain their business, and they wound up, you know, going under. Do I think that's going to happen to other banks around the country? A little bit, but I don't think it will be to the scale that we saw back in 2008 and 2009. For certain industries that are really interest sensitive, the banks that are serving those industries, and I'm talking about technology, and by the way, construction is another, you know, is another area of concern. You know, those are the banks that are going to have to really be careful about their operations. Which brings me, and I don't want to go on too long about this, but we're talking about the technology industry. In the construction and the real estate industry, you have a lot of companies there that are building homes and building offices and building buildings, and they're getting financing for doing all of this, and rates are going up and up and up. And the banks themselves, I think we're going to be seeing, there are going to be some that have made bad decisions and have overextended themselves in some of these construction projects where the people borrowing from them are going to be unable to afford their debt maintenance because of the higher interest rates that they're experiencing. So this is what you get when you raise interest rates, and this is what you get if you're running a business or a bank that didn't think about that or figure that into your model. It's gonna, you know, we're gonna see this happen again in 2023. I know we're gonna be talking about this again.
The payroll number: 311,000 jobs in February, 504,000 revised numbers for January. The jobs market is robust. At the same time, more Americans 25 to 54 prime working age are getting into the labor force. This sounds like good news for small businesses, where Gene brings to my attention still finding a hard time to fill the openings that are available. We've got a resilient economy.
It's something else, isn't it, John? I mean, it's confounding so many economists. The biggest names, you know what I mean? Paul Krugman himself just wrote recently how confusing he's finding the economy, and he's the Nobel Prize winner for the New York Times. It's a strange economy because you have a lot of people that are adding jobs. Most of my clients are looking for workers. And yet the good news is some, you know, first of all, these layoffs that happened, you know, in technology and in some in construction, that's could be a good thing for some small businesses looking for people in other industries. Younger people are coming back to work. There's a report, I forget it was in the Times or the Journal, just this past week about more women coming back to the workforce, John, that's been seeing post COVID. And also there was a big study that was done by Paychex a couple of weeks ago showing that one in six of retired Americans are now, you know, coming back to work because of, you know, depleted savings or because they were driving their spouses crazy. So that's all good news for businesses looking for workers. It's a funny economy because we live in a big country, John, and there are some industries and some parts of the country that are doing just great. Retail, restaurants, services, you know, they're doing well. Then you have other industries, like in some cases, financial services and, you know, technology, that are not doing so great. But in the meantime, the workforce stays very, very strong, which is great news.
From FreightWaves.com, I wanted an interpretation, Gene. The port traffic is off considerably over year. East Coast, West Coast. I'm presuming that's the imports that small businesses, all businesses, count on. And that means that the reason it's down is that our inventories are growing. They don't need to refill. What does that mean for small businesses?
Yeah, you actually nailed it. We have inventories that are higher. The reason why port traffic has gone down right now is we've seen some significant fluctuations in ordering of products. It used to be pre-pandemic, people would order, you know, just in time. And it would be that, you know, there was a reliability that if you placed an order, even if it was coming in from China, you were given a lead time and you were going to get your products when you ordered. We learned from the pandemic and all the disruptions that continued far after the pandemic that you could no longer follow that model. It was not reliable anymore. So most businesses, a lot of retailers, small businesses, merchants, distributors, they've switched their inventory model to just in case, which means buying more inventory than they actually needed because they couldn't rely on the fact they would get it. And that caused fluctuations. So there was a lot of buying that went on and a lot of shipping that went on over the past year. And now those businesses are working their way through those inventories. And that's why we're seeing less. I think we're going to continue to see fluctuations like that for the foreseeable future, for the next few years. Will there be big bumps in purchases and then periods where, you know, the levels of imports will trow out while we eat through our inventory? The credibility of just-in-time model, it was really hurt because of COVID. I think it's going to take a while to recover from that.
The jobs number. Ordinarily, I would say that's to be celebrated. However, we have the Federal Reserve watching this, and testimony by Chairman Powell this week suggested that the Federal Reserve knows much more needs to be done to solve sticky inflation, price instability. I'm reading the jobs number as we all have jobs, and you have a statistic that says the net household worth increased to nearly $3 trillion in the fourth quarter. So our jobs mean we have cash, and the retail number is going to stay high. That is not what the Federal Reserve wants to see. Is that correct, Gene?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it funny, John, how, like, you know, we're all wealthier than we were a couple of months ago. We're all going out and buying stuff. And the Federal Reserve is like, oh, that's not really good news now, is it? it's a funny world that we live in. The issue that the Federal Reserve is grappling with right now is a 22, it's billions of dollars that they have on their, on their balance sheet in excess of where they need it to be. And it's actually trillions of dollars. And what they want to do is they want to reduce this amount over time and slowly so that it doesn't cause too much dollars coming into circulation into the economy. Because when you have too much of something in a market, it's an oversupply, which diminishes the value of that thing. That's what creates inflation on the dollar. So, that's the conundrum. As the economy continues to heat up, people get their salary increases to keep up with inflation. Then they're going out and they're spending money and they're buying stuff and they're not holding back. More money comes into circulation. If it's coming in too fast, that continues to fuel inflation. So the Fed is trying to restrain that by raising interest rates. It is going to be a really interesting battle back and forth throughout this year. The good news is that Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, he does seem very, very committed to sticking with a high interest rate policy if that's what it needs to keep this thing under control, despite the pushback he gets from the markets. And I'm sure he gets a lot of political pushback as well. The issue is that this is going to go into 2024, and then we're going to be in election season, and he's going to be getting a lot of pressure from the people in power to change that policy to keep the economy going. And it is it'll be interesting to see how he reacts.
Gene Marks, the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer, and writing for many distinguished publications. When we come back, what is the president's budget? What does the administration's regulations mean for small businesses? And Gene also has some recommendations because it's tax time. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.